The Year of Faith with Father Don De Castro.
Meditation number 7. We have seen the very first and most important aspect of the act of faith. And this is for us to know the basic Christian idea, but we should not remain in learning the basic, but we must grow in the knowledge of this basic Christian idea. This basic Christian idea are the basic teachings of the Catholic Church that can be found from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from the writings of the Fathers of the Church, and from the documents of the Magisterium of the Catholic Church through its spokesman, the Holy Father, the Pope. Now, it is not sufficient in making the act of faith to know the basic Christian idea. We must also know the theology of the history of the Catholic Church. You see, the Catholic Church has a history. It is a very spiritual history, and it has been proposed to us by God Himself in the Old Testament in 7 steps, which is portrayed by the 7 days of creation. And then these 7 steps are repeated in the Old Testament. And again, the 7th step is repeated in the New Testament. That's why, by learning the 7 steps after creation, we would know how the Catholic Church would have its history in the Old Testament, because God, during creation, has already laid down the 7 steps by which the Church would undergo her history. And after showing us how the Catholic Church should grow in her history in the Old Testament, these 7 steps are repeated in the New Testament, especially in the life of Christ. And then after Pentecost, these 7 stages in the history of the Catholic Church is repeated in the life of the Church. And for us to have faith, it is not enough for us to know the Christian basic idea. We must also know in what stage in the history of the Catholic Church are we today, the year 2013. Are we on the 3rd day of creation? Or the 5th day of creation, or on the 6th day of creation, but definitely not on the 7th day, because on the 7th day is what you call the general judgment, as prefigured by the feast of Christ the King. So now we have finished the first part, which is the description of the basic Christian idea. Now let's go to the 2nd part, which is the theology of history. And I would like to demonstrate how these 2 ideas are presented in a Sunday gospel, especially on the 29th Sunday in ordinary time. The example given to us in the gospel is the example of the widow. The widow teaches us to pray unceasingly. to pray unceasingly is not a mere unceasing repetition of a prayer. We must expand our knowledge on how to pray unceasingly from the works of the fathers of the church. And St. Thomas of Aquinas, quoting St. Augustine, writes that unceasingly prayer consists in praying the divine office made up of 8 different prayer times distributed the whole day, which is a prayer formulated by the Holy Spirit and expressed in the 150 Psalms, which we can find in the Old Testament. And in between these prayers, we should pray the petitions of the Our Father, 7 of them taught to us by Christ Himself. And this is also a formula made by Christ Himself in the prayer, Our Father, which we recite every day and particularly every Sunday Mass. So there we have the first part in which we learn the basic Christian idea of how to pray. We have learned it at the beginning of the liturgy, and now on the 29th Sunday we are learning how to pray unceasingly, which was not taught before. Before, when Christ taught the Our Father in the Gospel of St. Matthew, He only taught the Our Father and the words of the Our Father, but He did not teach us how to pray unceasingly. He just taught us how to pray the Our Father. But since we have to grow in our knowledge of the basic Christian idea, in the 29th Sunday, which is very much advanced, approaching almost the feast of Christ the King, which is the end of the liturgical year, is the only time we are taught how to pray unceasingly. So now, let us go to the second part that should go side by side with learning the basic Christian idea, and this is learning the theology of history. All Catholics, as prefigured by the widow, must pray unceasingly when history shows that she, the widow, like the Catholic Church, which she represents, is surrounded from two sides by attackers, by opponents. She is attacked first by the world, and secondly, she is attacked by the negligence of the priesthood of the Catholic Church, by the hierarchy. We have seen these two roads. One is the soul's growth in his knowledge and understanding of the basic Christian idea, and the second is the theology of history of the church. These two roads run apart from each other in the natural level, but joins into one when one reaches faith. And it continues up to charity as just one road in the supernatural level. This unity of the two roads, when you know both of them at the same time, is the sign that you are a man of faith. But sadly, this does not show in most priests and most bishops. They do not show that they have the two knowledge together. It had been noticed that as early as the 18th century, the greater part of Catholic priests were ignorant of both the basic Christian idea and the theology of history. They did not have a complete basic knowledge of Christian idea, and there was no growth or development of the Christian idea. And there was no analysis of the theology of history that prompts the growth of the basic Christian idea. In short, they have no faith, shown as early as the 18th century, and shown by most of the priests, and shown by most of the graduates in seminary. In short, there is really no faith. Pope Benedict, quoting again Blessed John Newman, describes this our time as undergoing the crisis of obedience to papal authority. This had been happening since the 18th and 19th century. By now, the situation had become more grievous. It has become as Christ prophesied, there would be no faith in the face of the earth. Pope Benedict, like Blessed John Newman, was one of the handful, the one who were unscathed, unaffected through this ambush by the devil. And he did it in this way. First, he studied very seriously as a person. It was a personal, individual study. It was not learned from the schoolhouse or the school rooms. He studied the basic Christian idea by himself from scriptures, as summarized by John Newman himself. And he showed this in his books on theology. Secondly, Pope Benedict developed his knowledge of the basic Christian idea by studying scriptures and the fathers of the church. He showed this later in his addresses on the fathers of the church, now compiled in two books. Thirdly, he showed he had reached a supernatural level in his development of Christian doctrine with his three encyclicals on faith, hope, and charity. Fourthly, he is now showing that he has united into one, first, his knowledge of advanced doctrine with the theology of history by pointing two things. In what level in the knowledge of doctrine should Catholics be by now? And in what part of the history of the church are we now? Now, we cannot find these four elements that we can find in Pope Benedict in the words and works of many people, even in the Vatican bureaucracy. When they speak, they do not show that it is a part of the basic Christian idea what they are saying. They also do not show the continuity of what they are teaching, either from divine revelation, nor from the fathers of the church, nor from the magisterium, from previous popes. They do not show the continuity of their teaching from all these sources, which are called the foundation of Catholic doctrine. They do not show that what they say comes from sound philosophy or psychology or theology. As the press states, when they speak, it comes from their cuff, as if it comes from nowhere or from thin air. And this from the cuff interviews come from everybody now speaking in the Vatican. And from most theologians and preachers, in fact, anyone who knows the basic Christian idea can clearly see this. But those without this basic Christian idea will not even notice it, sad to say. After Vatican II, most theologians, cardinals, bishops, and priests did not show these above qualities and knowledge of these two most important elements necessary to make the act of faith. And yet, when Pope Benedict was elected to the papacy, he showed all these elements and wrote about it. He even declared special years to emphasize its importance, like the Jubilee Year of St. Paul, the Year of the Priests. He also described this in more detail in his new evangelization and crowned it in his declaration of the Year of Faith. There can be no faith without the development and growth in the basic Christian idea as proposed by Blessed John Newman. And without knowledge of the theology of history, as proposed by Saint Bonaventure. Both were taught and practiced by Pope Benedict, and taught to us in his new evangelization and Year of Faith. Without faith, most of our priests and bishops are not priests and not bishops. And a pope without faith is no pope, writes the doctor of the church, Saint Robert Bellarmine, who was also a Jesuit. And Robert Bellarmine says they are not even priests and bishops because they are not even Catholics if they have no faith. So how can they be part of the Catholic Church? Now let us briefly describe a man who has faith. A man who has faith knows all the basic Christian idea. It is precisely because he knows all the basic Christian idea, which is not yet faith, that God gives him the supernatural virtue of faith. So faith is a gift from God. It is not something you can do something about in order to acquire. No, it is a gift. Because you had used your natural resources in order to know all the basic Christian idea. And the moment God gives you the supernatural gift of faith because you have learned the basic Christian idea, then together with that faith, God gives you all the better and the deeper and the more complex teachings of the Catholic Church. So your basic Christian idea stops becoming basic and it becomes more developed and more perfect. Together with learning this basic Christian idea is to learn the history of the Catholic Church. While you are still in the natural level, you would know the history of the Catholic Church, just as it is easy for everyone to learn the history of England or the history of Germany, history of Europe. But you would not know the theology of history because this is in the supernatural level and goes hand in hand with the virtue of faith. And so if ever we reach that supernatural level and therefore learn the theology of the history of the church, you would know that we are now probably in the second and the third and the fourth day of the days of creation. In fact, Pope Benedict hinted to us that we are now on the sixth day of creation, in the sixth stage of the history of the Catholic Church, but nobody understood that because nobody knew what he meant by such words, because most people do not have supernatural faith. But over and above all, when you have rich faith, you would know exactly the way to go to heaven without any mistakes. So not only will your knowledge be without error, it is going to be without mistake, and you will also be very certain that what you are doing is the right thing that will lead you to eternal life.